Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name is Bill Lawson. I meet with the church in Storrs, Connecticut, Storrs, not Stores. But Storrs, Connecticut is a very, very small town in the northeast part of Connecticut, in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden there's a big university called UConn. And I know all you know about it is basketball, right? But anyhow, it has more than that. It's the church life there. Of course, they want to make it the basketball capital of the United States, but anyhow. But we're trying to make it the Lord's recovery area of the United States. Okay, I was gained briefly. I was gained by the Lord when I was going to UCLA, right? So I'm a Bruin. Anyhow, some of you know what that is, right? And I transferred there as a junior in 1968. And eventually, about a year and a half later, in November of 1969, I met the Lord's Recovery at Eldon Hall. And that was the Lord's Day morning. The next day, Brother David Dong, of course, you know, a lot of you know David, he had me preaching the gospel with him on the campus. I was in shock, you know, like, wow, these guys are serious. So those brothers, believe me, I owe a lot to. They are my church fathers in a sense. They gave me tremendous shepherding. David Dong, Gerald Chan, Simon Yang, Thomas Cheng, Art Dawson. These ones gave me a tremendous amount of perfecting. So I really appreciate, we had a marvelous campus work there on UCLA from probably 68. They were ahead of me, but I was 69 to 72, and I learned a lot from those brothers. So praise the Lord for the shepherding. Praise the Lord for perfecting, which I'll talk about tonight, matters of perfecting. If you look at your outline booklet, right, we're in section number 4 tonight, perfecting the young people. We'll talk about that. Of course, you're not the young people, but we're talking about the perfecting of the faculty, right, to help, to shepherd the students and how they can help the students on their campus be useful to the Lord, right? We're talking about perfecting the young people. That's not just, you know, the co-workers and elders, because this particular faculty fellowship is geared to the faculty, right? We have to address this. This has to be portrayed in the view of faculty, right? So I'm so glad to be among a lot of faculty here, right? So we have a lot to do. Of course, I know we talked about, you know, we don't want to be stressed out. And now we're talking about not only do we have to publish or perish, we not only have to write grants to get billions of dollars to stay, now we've got to perfect the ones to be better than we are. Oh, I'm stressed out more. Anyhow, so this is a real, yeah, right, yeah, right. So we're talking about perfecting the saints. This is really a big need in the Lord's recovery today, right? From every angle, you know, it's like, you know, if you have a family of a few children, the older child, he needs to be trained how to perfect the younger ones, you know, the 4-year-old to handle the 2-year-old, and then the 10-year-old handles the 8-year-old, and the 16-year-old, you know, he perfects the 12-year-old. So it just goes on and on, right, through children's work, junior high school, college. You know, the seniors in high school should try to do what they can to perfect the freshmen in high school. And then you get into college, and then the college should help perfect, you know, the high school ones, and then the seniors in college perfect the, you know, so it goes on all the way. And then we get older and older, you know, in the church life, and it's like the perfecting never stops. It never stops. You can see Paul's burden in the New Testament. He said to present every man. Think about that. It's like, I think about that a lot. It's impossible. How do you do that? Paul was burdened to present every man, what? Full grown in Christ. That's Paul's perfecting work. He also, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, right? Paul talks about, and he gave some apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds and teachers. For what? For the perfecting, not to make a rank or a hierarchy, no. For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So Paul, even there in Ephesians chapter 4, he is very burdened to perfect others to do exactly what they can do, maybe only in a smaller scale, but they can do exactly what an apostle can do. He raises up more apostles, right? Prophets, more prophets, evangelists, right? More evangelists, more shepherds, more teachers to continue the perfecting work, right? This is also seen, one more verse, in 2 Timothy 2:2. I like this verse. Okay. In 2 Timothy 2:2, right? Let's turn, okay? Paul, you want to read 2 Timothy 2:2 to us? And listen to the levels of perfecting. Paul, go ahead. So we have to perfect him how to bring his Bible with him.
And the things which you have heard from me from many witnesses.
Okay, stop there. And the things with you. Who's you? Who's you? Timothy. Okay, this brother, you stand up. You're Timothy. Stand up. And the things which you, who's speaking here?
Paul.
Okay, Paul, you stand up. And the things which you, Timothy, heard from me, Paul, right? Through whom? Okay, you four stand up. Right here, you four brothers, stand up. Okay. Through many witnesses. Okay. So who initiated the perfecting here? Paul. So then Paul perfected whom? These four brothers here. And eventually, these four brothers here, they did what? They perfected Timothy. So you have how many parties here? You have Paul the apostle, you have the many witnesses, these brothers perfected, reproduced themselves. Paul reproduced himself in these brothers. These brothers reproduced themselves into what? Into Timothy. Does it stop there? Okay, read on.
These commit to faithful men.
Okay, these, the healthy words and so on that Paul's talking about, commit to whom? These ones over here, you four. See, these are faithful men. Why are they faithful men? Because they listened, right, to Timothy. They got perfected by Timothy. Timothy perfected them, right? These commit to faithful men, these four. What will these four do? Who will be competent to do what? To teach others also. Okay. Carolyn, you stand up. See? All of these ones. How many levels do you have here of perfecting? You have five levels of perfecting. It starts with what? Paul the Apostle. He ministers. He shares. He ministers the riches of Christ into what? Into these ones here. Right? And the things which you heard from me through many witnesses, these four, right, they perfect a Timothy, right? Timothy reproduces himself to what? These commit to what? Faithful men, including the sisters. You're faithful men. You're faithful men. Who shall do what? Does the perfecting stop with you? Who shall be able to what? Perfect others also. Do you see? Five, okay, you can sit down. You see, five levels of perfecting. That means the perfecting goes on again and again. right? Five levels here. And of course, if Paul could say more, he would say, then the Carolyn and these sisters, they have to perfect the ones behind them. And they, you see, it's an ongoing thing. So the things which you heard from me through many witnesses, three levels, these commit to what? Faithful man who shall what? Who shall be able to what? Teach others also. So we have to reproduce ourselves more and more. And this is one of the big burdens that we want to share tonight. Message four, right? Perfecting the young people to be useful vessels in the Lord's hand. Perfecting makes people useful. Of course, if you look at the footnote, I think, in Ephesians 4, Brother Lee uses the words, functioning supply, supplying the functions. In other words, you through your constitution with the divine truths, through your rich growth in the divine life, your learning of so many lessons, you are able to equip, is a good word, equip or furnish or supply. You furnish the functions. Every saint that you work on, you supply them. You perfect them with the growth in life, with the divine truths, with the skills needed that they could be exactly like you and maybe better. But the problem is, most of the time, we want to be number one. We want to do the job. Forget about someone else. As long as I can handle everything, I can minister, I can shepherd, I can teach, I can administrate, I can do everything. Hallelujah. But that's not Paul. Paul's heart is to perfect others. They could do the same thing, only in a smaller scale. Or even you could say, they could go beyond you. Is that our heart? Right? Oh, I'm not going to. I like trade secrets. You know, we like trade secrets. Right? Hide what you have from others, so they can never be like you. But we're not in the business of trade, hiding, right, trades. We're in the business of perfecting others so they know all the secrets. So that one day Paul Chang, he can what? He can be more useful than you, more useful than me. We don't know. We don't know the Lord's heart, how some may be more useful than we are. That means we have the heart, Lord, we pray that these brothers and sisters, they would go beyond us. They would become more useful than we are. They could learn. They could grow in life until everyone fully reaches their full function. They're equipped with everything they need, right, in the Lord's recovery and in the work. They're supplied. They're furnished for function, okay? And we'll get into that a little bit. Okay, before I begin the PowerPoint, I want to recommend this book, which Andrew, you recommended. So I'm going to follow Andrew, you stepped. Shepherding the Church and Perfecting the Young People. Outstanding. Even he recommended. I also recommend it, especially chapters 3 and 7. Okay? Shepherding the Church and Perfecting the Young People. And I'll just read a little bit out of chapter 3. Okay. Chapter 3 is entitled Changing the Concept. You know, we have conceptual ideas in our mind that are not according to the Word. So the title is Changing the Concept in Our Service, how we serve. So, of course, all of you are faculty or faculty related. So we need to understand that even as faculty, we can, in our position as faculty at a college or university, we can be of service to the Lord to furnish, to supply, and to equip the students, whatever, in our schools or universities, right, with different things, right, of the riches of Christ, okay? Here he says, changing the concept in our service, teaching and perfecting others. Okay, then at the very end of this chapter, just briefly I'll read here. Okay. Of course, he's addressing this to the co-workers and elders in Taiwan, January 1971. It's a long time ago, but it's very applicable, very pertinent to us today. Perfecting the saints and producing useful ones are the responsibility of both the co-workers and the elders. So replace here with faculty, okay? Whenever you see this, and just replace it with faculty. The co-workers, elders, and responsible ones in the districts and the other serving saints must not be afraid of the trouble or difficulties involved in perfecting the saints. They must also transcend their feelings by teaching and accommodating the saints. Without such a spirit, small s, we can do nothing. It is wrong to think that no one is useful. Wherever we are, we must work to the extent, right, that even the saints who seemingly have no capacity become useful. We must make use of every kind of material, right? We must perfect the saints. We must coordinate, use the environment, and produce useful saints. In some places, the co-workers and elders are capable, but they work as though the saints cannot be perfected. Wow, this is a big problem. We must not allow such a situation to continue. We should let the saints serve. Some of these saints will even do a better job than what we have done. Wow. It is intolerable for us to hold the saints down. In particular, the co-workers and elders should never be so careless as to hold the saints down. Even if we are capable, we should train others and not hold them down. In the work and in the church, we are not measured. I like this. We are not measured by whether or not we are capable. We are measured by how many useful ones we are able to produce. What about that standard? The standard of success does not depend on our ability to do a certain thing. The standard is determined by how many useful ones we can produce. My ability to serve is not the standard. The standard is whether I can perfect another saint to do better than me. This requires, right, that we learn our lessons. The work in the church, last paragraph, are progressing very slowly because we do not serve with the saints in order to teach them. Furthermore, we seldom coordinate with others. Those who have some capacity are passive, and they yield to others. The position of the senior elders and the co-workers is not the important issue. Our concept must be changed, and the system must be changed. The senior elders will continue to serve as elders, but they should not limit or hinder the other saints. Moreover, the middle-aged saints should be brought into the eldership to assist the senior elders. This would be very good. We must not keep things in our hand. We must be willing to hand things over to other saints and to teach them. Then those who are younger will be raised up by the Lord to be useful. Concerning this point, our concept must change and our system must change. This is not just a matter of having a new way of doing things. It is altogether a matter of changing our concept, right? May the Lord have mercy on us, okay? That's in chapter 3, okay? In chapter 7, the title of the chapter is the focal point of the young people's work and perfecting the young people. The different headings, right? Bringing young saints into the work, producing burdened saints in the schools, serving until the work is no longer ours. Wow. Spending time to supply the saints, letting the young people serve and supplying them, training the students, being cautious and sober-minded concerning coordination, exercising faith concerning financial matters, the students being balanced, tearing down regionalism and being coordinated and having an enlarged view and producing useful saints. An excellent publication. I highly recommend this. Okay, let's go on to the PowerPoint. And can we flip over, Paul, that paper here? Okay, this again is a series of slides that I have no shame in mentioning. They also came from our brother Andrew Yu, who shared a lot with us in the team reunion, right? The college team reunion we had in Irving, Texas, okay, back in May of this year, okay? So I chose some of his slides so we can go through some of his slides together, okay? The burden here, perfecting the saints. I don't know, Don, if you can see, I'm blocking you here. Perfecting the saints, okay, this is a big burden even for us in the faculty, as faculty, right? How do we perfect and furnish, supply, coordinate with ones, right, that we are the closest to on our campuses, universities, and colleges, perfecting the saints and committing the work to them, right? Of course, we would say perfecting ourselves and committing the work to me. But no, it's perfecting the saints and committing the work to them, okay? Right? Okay, our work today. Okay, this again, let me go ahead here. One here. This is, so you know, this material from Brother Watchman Nee, Collected Works of Watchman Nee, Volume 57, right, Chapter 6, okay? Okay, perfecting the saints and committing the work to them, our work today, why don't you read it? Okay.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. What is the way of our work today? Right. To do what Paul did. Then to do what Timothy did. That's why we got into 2 Timothy 2:2, right? And here, only those who can teach others to work will succeed in the work. Okay, when a person takes all the work upon himself, he is in reality telling everyone else not to work. Okay, the work of the co-workers today is to lead others and to induce them to work. Their job is to distribute the work to others. They have to use whatever means they can to cause others to work. Okay, going on, right? He talks about the next generation, right? And, of course, some of us are getting older. Of course, we're all getting older, but I think we would all like to be alive when the Lord comes back, right? So we have to realize, though, another generation. The Lord is raising up new generations all the time, right? The next generation, right, that we bring in must not be made up of three or five serving ones, right? But must be made of what the whole church. Not just some, the whole church, right? And he goes on and talks about the edifying. We must help every brother and sister to serve and make everyone a priest of God, right? Some may have the flesh with them, right? We think, well, if somebody's in the flesh, I'm not going to use them. Well, we all started in the flesh, right? They can still be useful. We still have to ask them to work. Some brothers say that what they have is so little that it would be better if they hid it. But we have to tell them that they cannot do this. It's an easy thing for the one talented ones to hide what they have. Many brothers and sisters feel that since they make mistakes, no matter how they work, they may as well not work at all, right? But we have to ask them to work. This is the way. Please believe my words. In the not too distant future, such a church will appear. By that time, men will see Philadelphia, the genuine brotherly love. Okay? Okay, going on. Leading ones, right? Struggling and striving, right? He goes on, right? Now, the reference. He's in the book that I just told you about, Shepherding the Church and Perfecting the Young People, that book I told you about. he has some things to say about this. Okay, Matthew 25, of course, 14. Like a man, the king go abroad, call his own slaves and deliver them his possessions. What are the Lord's possessions? Right? Mainly four things, right? Okay, according to the fellowship we have, the possessions are four things. Number one, life, the divine life, the growth in the divine life, our growth in life, the crucified life, the resurrection life. We must have the adequate growth in life. Those are the right, the Lord's possessions, the divine life, the divine truth, right? The believers are the Lord's possessions, and what? The church corporately. Believers individually, church corporately. So life, truth, the believers, and the church. Praise the Lord for the Lord's possessions. Amen. But the Lord doesn't want to keep those possessions. He wants what? To distribute those possessions. Amen. So that all the believers have what? Have the divine life, the divine truth, the believers, and the church with which to work. So these are mainly the four possessions, right? Who called his own slaves and delivered to us. Every believer has been delivered with these possessions. And then now, what are we going to do with these possessions, right? To write the talents, right? One five, one two, another one. According to his own ability, and he went abroad. Okay, going on. Our ability, right? God's creation, how God created us with all that we have through creation, and how much we learn, right? Then I like this. Immediately, what do we need to do immediately? If you read the Gospel of Mark, immediately is mentioned 20 or 30 different times. As a slave, we should do things immediately. Immediately, he who had received the five, right, gained another five, right? And he was, of course, he was highly recommended by the Lord, good and faithful slave. Okay. Okay, perfecting others, okay, is a matter, okay, of our learning, okay? That means we need to continually learn to do what? To distribute more of the very Christ that we enjoy. We're learning all the time, the whole time of our being in the church life. The Lord's recovery is a time of learning, always learning. I'm always trying to learn, right? To distribute more of Christ. Immediacy means that we should be diligent, aggressive, right, to put our money to the exchangers, right? In other words, sometimes we have the concept, well, I read the Brotherly's book, The Experience of Life, right? And I read about the fourth stage of, you know, like full maturity, reigning in life, you know, ascension, reigning in life. So, but I won't, that's far in the future. I won't do that. I won't learn. I won't get into that. I'll just wait until I reach the fourth stage, and then I will become diligent and exercise immediacy to do it. No, it's not like that. That means as soon as you get a talent, Paul, you have to exchange it. You have to gain another one. If you're given two, you gain another two. You should be aggressively seeking. How can I, right, make more talents with the one that the Lord has given me? So don't wait, right? Faithfulness, of course, diligence. Be faithful to what the Lord has given you. If he's just given you one talent, don't say, I'm not going to do anything of that one talent. This other brother, he got five. That's not fair. He gets five, this sister gets two, I only get one. But if you look at the situation, the five talented one, he's got to get five more. You think it's that easy? Then you realize, oh, that's why he didn't give me five. Because I have no capacity to get five more. He only gave me two, right? So that's not bad. I just get two more. But with almost all of us, I don't know about you, but I've got one. I know I've got one. I don't have two, I don't have five, but praise the Lord, I have one. We all have one, saints. So that's good. So it's not that hard, right? Suppose, Frank, the Lord gave you five. But you only have the capacity for one. You talk about stressed out. But Kay Shen was talking, I'd really be stressed out. I've got to appear before him one day. What did I do with my five talents? I only made one. But the Lord expected five out of you. What will you say to him? Okay. And time. Our time is very, very important, right? I think a lot of the other brothers shared about how much we need to redeem our time, right? To perfect others is a matter of time. You must redeem the time. Redeeming the time means it's like it gets away. We think, oh, no problem, I'll just wait. But the word there in the Greek is redeem. Redeem means to what? You need to buy it back. Whenever you redeem something, that you had something and you lost it, you got to pay the price to get it back. That means all the time, the seconds, the minutes, the hours are going on, you're losing them if you're not putting your money to the exchanger. You need to redeem that time or you lost it. You need to buy it back. With the scheduling the brothers talked about, you need to buy it back. You have to redeem your time. Okay? And then, right, there's a measure of our approvedness, right? Paul talks in Romans about approvedness, right, which takes time, a lot of growth in that. And there's a measure of our approvedness, and that's how much have we duplicated ourselves in others? Not just how much I have grown in life, how much of the Bible I read, how much truth I have constituted into me, how many trainings I've gone to. Of course, you need that. But it's how much have you duplicated yourself in others? Not how much you accumulate, but the accumulation, right, is needed to dispense that into others, right? So in unfaithfulness in 3:2 and point 3 also, it means whatever the Lord gives you, you need to use that right away. In other words, if the Lord gives you a testimony, testify. If the Lord gives you a word in the morning, like the other day, in the Holy Word in Exodus, right, Marty was reading that this morning, okay, or earlier today. Exodus 34, verses 29 and 35, right? Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone by reason of his speaking with him. Who's speaking here? His, capital H. So, the verse in 29 talks about his speaking with him. God is speaking with Moses, right? We think, oh, that's it, okay. Whenever I come into the Lord's presence, God has to speak to me. I'm not going to say anything. But look at verse 35 says, then Moses would put the veil back on his face until he went in to speak with him. Who's speaking with whom now? In verse 29, it's Jehovah speaking to Moses. In verse 35, it's Moses speaking to Jehovah. Do you see the difference? When we're in the Lord's presence, having a time with him, God speaks to us, right? That means sometimes you need to be quiet to allow God to speak to us, not audibly. We'll call 911. But you know, God speaking to us, and then what? At other times when we're with the Lord, what? It's our speaking with Jehovah. God is speaking to Moses. Moses is speaking to Jehovah. You see, it's a combination thing. My point is what? Just take that little thing and just share it with someone. Brother so-and-so, what did you enjoy in Exodus? And then he said, I enjoyed Exodus chapter 31. In other words, be faithful to what the Lord gives you. If the Lord gives you a little bit, be faithful to present that, to share that, to speak that to someone. Then what? The Lord will give you more. It's just the way it works. Just a little thing, the Lord will give you more. Then you have everything, you're faithful to speak that to someone, what you enjoy, the Lord will give you more. And he'll give you more and more and more. But if you say, oh, that's not major, I want a big revelation from God. until I get a big revelation from God, then I'll share that with Paul Chang. So the Lord has given you little things all along. You say, no, I'm not going to say. So what happened? You don't have anything. God doesn't say anything to you because he's waiting for you to share the little thing he gave you the other day, and you quenched the spirit and you wouldn't say that to someone. So what? How can God give you more? He can only give you what you present to others. Then he will give you more. Okay? Three kinds of serving ones, right? I like this. Do you like the first kind? Those who do not serve. A lot of those believers, right, that do not serve. Okay. Second kind, those who only serve by themselves. Is that us? Probably. Mainly we fall into this category. Those who only serve by themselves. You ask them to do something or something, and they do it, and they could forget about telling somebody else, I'm going to be an expert at that. I'm going to be the greatest in that. Second category. Third category, those who bring others into the service. I like this category. Hopefully, we can all be in this category, right? Right? The ones there that maybe that students that we know or we're with a lot as a faculty, right? What? We need to not just be with them. And so you need to learn and look for ways. How can we bring that particular brother or sister, that one, into some kind of service, spiritual service or practical service? We need to pray, consider, how can we do that? Okay, matching. Because this came out in one of the trainings recently about Moses. Moses needed a matching. Okay, who was Moses' match? Don't say his wife. Here. Who was Moses' match? Aaron. Okay, if you read the context right, it says here, through his brother's matching, Moses learned to let others do what he was able to do. If you look at Brother Lee's ministry on this, it's marvelous. He brings out that, do you think Moses was not capable? Even though it says, you know, Moses is speaking, you know, I can't speak that well. Do you think he couldn't speak that well? What does the book of Acts tell us, you know, when Acts 7, he's talking about Moses was great in what? Words and works. Yeah, if you read Exodus, he couldn't speak. I'm not a good speaker. But in Acts, it says when they were talking about Moses, Moses was great. He was outstanding in words and works. How do you reconcile those two? Because Moses realized he needed a helper. He needed a match. Even though he was more qualified probably than Aaron, or probably more capable than any of the children of Israel, he acknowledged he needs a match. It's just like us. The best kind of perfecting is to what? Is you can do a job better than someone else. I can do it much better than Chi2. Right? You know, I was with him in the training in Anaheim. We were together in the training. You know, I worked on him a lot, tried to perfect him. Right? I can do everything much better than Chi2, so I'm not going to give him a chance, because if I do it, it's going to be perfect. If he does it, what a mess. There's no way he can do what I can do. No. The real perfecting, like Moses, matching. Moses was in unbelievable. Could you bring 2 million people out of Egypt through the wilderness and to the threshold of the good land? I can't do that. I'll be the first one. 2 million people? You think he wasn't capable? Oh my goodness. His ability, capability, function was just unbelievable. Yet he could say, oh, I need to be matched. That's perfecting. Moses realized he needs one to match him. Even though he could do it better than Aaron. Believe me, he could be much more eloquent than Aaron, but he was willing not to do everything to bring someone else into perfecting to match him. This, you need to read that portion in Exodus, how the Lord used Moses to show Moses he needs a match. Even though you can do something better than someone else, you would not take the position, I will never let anybody else write a tract. If somebody else writes a tract to distribute in Chicago, they would just put down, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They would put that on the tract. But maybe not. Maybe they will come up with a tract better than, maybe you have never written a tract. And they come up with a tract. It's not bad. What is this? You need to perfect them how to write a tract. Okay, just an illustration. Okay, going on here, right? However, right, I have seen many, especially sisters, who insisted that they alone be allowed to do a particular thing. According to our natural makeup, we do not want others. We're not like that, though, right? None of us are like that. We're all like that, right? We do not want others to interfere with what we are doing. Ever have that feeling? The student we're working with, there's no way I'm going to let him, say, write a tract. I'll write all the tracts, right? Nevertheless, we all must learn to let others do the very thing we are not unable to do, right? Let others do the very thing we are able to do because they may do it better than we. Oh, perish the thought. I'll be out of a job. That's good. To give others a job. Okay? That's matching. Right? I do not believe, right? I do not believe that Aaron was more capable than Moses. I don't think so. Nevertheless, God sovereignly arranged a situation that allowed Aaron to do what Moses was able to do. In the church life, we should not do everything ourselves. Instead, we should let others do what we can do. Of course, that doesn't mean we should be idle. We need a matching relationship. Then we're what? Restricted, balanced, and what? Humbled. Wow, we need to be humbled. Then this restriction, it's a safeguard and protection, right? Nothing is more, right, greater and whatever than the brothers matching. The more we're matched, the more we're protected, right? Okay. 7 steps in perfecting others. Okay. Number 1, vision. You know, when we want to perfect others, right away we just like to tell them, okay, go write a tract. We don't give any vision of why they should write a tract. Or we say, hey, we need some new hymns on the matter of the of Exodus and how the law is a loving, you know, the law is used by God to infuse us with his loving, living substance, right, so that we can become absolutely one with God and one with him. Okay, Paul, I want you to write a tract on Exodus. Okay, go on. What's the problem? We don't give them the vision. Why do they need to write a tract? We don't give them the vision that there are many, many truths in the Bible, right, or many truths unveiled in the Lord's recovery need a corresponding hymn to bring us into that truth. So, Paul, why don't you write, consider, you know, about writing a tract. But first of all, consider, right, the vision of, like, such a great thing, right, to write a song on the messages just given by the brothers, right? And we don't just tell them to go write something. Just sit down and work with them. Okay, you need the proper meter. It has to rhyme. You need the key verses. It starts with the particular stanza, and then you need a stanza and a chorus. Stanza and a chorus, maybe just two verses, Paul, and include, right, the main elements, right, in this song, right? Okay, and then you will realize this will bring the whole recovery into the heart, into the burden of this point in Exodus, right? And then you share with them this vision. You see what I'm doing? Number one, I'm just not telling you, oh, we need to clean the meeting hall. Go get a broom. We're good at that. But we don't tell them the burden, you know, in a sense, the vision of a clean environment, a clean atmosphere for the new ones to come to the meeting. They're touched, they're impressed with how clean the restrooms are, how clean, you know, the meeting hall is, the spotless. Well, wow, these people are godly. You know, I like to be with these people. I'm just giving illustrations here. Give them a vision of what this matter is, how it fits in. They're not just doing a job. They're not what? Utilitarians. You know, many times we're utilitarians. We just want to get the job done. We don't give them a vision. Why? We need songs, new songs in the Lord's Prayer. Why we need more tracts to distribute, to bring the truth to God's people, to the unbelievers, to bring them into God's move on the earth today. That's why we would have a tract to with the truth out in a particular form. Maybe they don't like to read a book. Maybe they can't read a book, but they can read a tract, and they can get the riches, Paul, out of a tract that they couldn't get out of a book. Impart that vision into them. Then that gives them an incentive. Wow, I need to consider how to write. And then they may present the tract to you, and you look and say, well, it needs some help. Don't say, it's no good. You could say, well, that's very good, but you need to put more truth into it. And the rhyme is not that you know, like song and done or go and blue. You need to help them with, it has to rhyme, Paul. You have to explain what is a rhyme? I don't know. Anyhow, okay, there's all kinds of things, right? Okay, commitment. What you need to somehow, in your fellowship with them, whatever, elicit a kind of a commitment where it's not just a one time, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that thing, you know, just I'll try it, and if I don't like it, you know. But try to elicit a commitment from them, right? Right? I think you know what I'm saying, right? For in other words, can you say, Paul, can you give 1 hour a day? Just give 1 hour a day, maybe in the morning, and begin to try to write a hymn, right? Or other thing, to shepherd someone, right? To, you know, while you're on campus, look to the Lord for one of the students to set up a time with that student, maybe a half an hour, maybe 15 minutes, right? To, you know, shepherd that one. You get a commitment. You said, okay, can you commit, Paul? 15 minutes on Monday and Friday. See, again, share with them the burden, why the vision, why you're doing that, and give them some help on what to do. They don't know, what am I going to read? Is it, well, start from maybe the Gospel of John and read with this, you know, give them some help, okay? But commitment is important, right? And you have an appointment book, or you have a cell phone, your address book, write it down. Monday, 10 o'clock, 10 to 10:15. Friday, 10 to 10:15. Commitment, okay? And then, of course, if possible, you know, consecrate to that. Okay, assignment. In other words, many times someone will come to you and say, I want to be used. I want to be useful, right? Or I don't know what to do, but I feel the Lord is moving in me. I want to be with you people. I want to help out with what you're doing. Give me some help. What are you going to say? Oh, just go and pray. No, don't say that. You need to assign them, identify areas that they can be useful. For example, like, okay, giving a ride to someone. Giving rides, right? Designing a track, I mentioned. Designing a track. We need some track. You can give them some help, right? Writing a hymn, I told you about. Making phone calls, you know, in a particular situation, phone calls. Bringing a particular dish to the love feast or something. Oh, you can help. Maybe you heard they went to Johnson and Wales in Rhode Island. It's a culinary school. And you go, oh, that means they're a good cook. Okay, you need to, can you, sister, can you make this really good dish and bring it to the next meeting or something like that? Okay. Making copies of an outline, right? Can you just share? Brothers, can you run off 50 copies of this outline? And of course, I did this in the past, and then the outline came back and it was upside down. So again, you know, so my feeling was, the next time I'm going to do it. Of course, you don't tell them that. But, and then I gave it to them again, and then somehow they did it anyhow the wrong way. So after two or three times, I felt like saying, that's it, I'm doing it myself. But you can't do that. You have to work with them how to run off an outline, how to staple the thing, you know. And, you know, okay, you understand me, right? So many things. The saints need perfecting, right? Cleaning the meeting hall. What are you going to tell them? Go clean the windows. But there's 45 windows in the meeting hall. How can I clean all of them? And they say, okay, you four saints clean the bathroom windows. You four saints here clean the service office. You assign windows, whatever. You know what I mean? As far as the meeting hall, just assign different windows, right? Setting up the chairs. We need brothers ushering. There's all kinds of things, right? We can begin to perfect the ones, you know, that we're with, right? Okay, four, right? Training by pattern, you know, train by being a pattern to them, right? If you would like them maybe to come to the meeting early and help, and then what is all you're sleeping in? So they're in the meeting. Where is Bill? He just told me the vision of how much we need to come to the meetings early, and he's, where is he? Okay, you understand me. Being a pattern. If you have office hours and faculty, okay, and you say office hours, Monday afternoon, 2 to 3. And he comes at 2 o'clock, right at 2 o'clock to see you. Of course, I don't know, Cation, do they knock at the door? Do they do that or not? Oh, you say, knock at the door. Where is he? There goes the pattern, right? Because you say on your door, your office hours from 2 to 3, you're not there. Anyhow, there's all kinds of illustrations. Train by pattern. Okay, five, encouragement and supply. That's a big thing in sin. You must encourage, even though they're messing up a lot. You still, oh, that's a good start. You don't say, that was a mess. You say, that was a pretty good start. Well, how was it? Well, that's what Brother Lee, whenever Brother Lee would say, well, then you got clear, it's not good. But that was Brother Lee's way of perfecting you, like, it's not what I wanted. It was a good try. Well, anyhow, encouragement and supply, right? You encourage them. Just if maybe they have a couple minutes during the day in your office or something, and you, let's read the ministry together, right? Encourage them. Oh, very good. You read a paragraph and I'll read a paragraph. Very good. Isn't this good? You encourage them and supply them, right? Reading the ministry together. Maybe you tell them, oh, that was a good job. You could say, Paul, hey, Paul, can you help us? I've got to speak to you know, tonight on the three circles. And I want you to draw a good diagram of the three circles. But you don't give them the vision and you don't give them the way. So they draw three circles. One circle here, another circle over here, and another circle over here. And you give it, well, I didn't mean like that. I meant three concentric circles, one within the other. You see what I mean? You don't know. Maybe they never heard of the three circles. You tell them, give me a diagram of the three circles. We all know what that is. But they don't know what that is. Okay, so you need to encourage them. Well, no, brother, there's three concentric circles. You may share with them, you know, this sister, Mary McDonough, in the 1920s, she lived in Boston, and she came up with these diagrams of the three circles, and Brother Watchman Nee picked that up. Anyhow, I don't know if you want to say that, but encourage them, right? Okay, then we have here what? Follow-up. That's a big thing. Don't just tell them somebody what to do. Follow up. Were you able to run the copies off of right? Or did you have the 35 copies of the three parts of man, spirit, soul, and body, right? Follow up, right? You can follow like today, because I'm trying to be more high tech. So I'm learning to be high tech. I'm low tech. I'm close to no tech, but I'm a little bit higher. I'm low tech, but I'm not up here high tech. Okay, I just got rid of my BlackBerry. People are saying to me, no, that BlackBerry is not the latest thing. So I had to. so just a couple weeks ago, my wife had to convince me to get one of those fancier, newer phones. Anyhow. Okay, follow up by text, by calling, by meeting up with them, by sending them reading materials, by like, okay, what we do in stores when we baptize a student, we get these baptismal certificates and we just fill it out. So and so and so. And of course, we have a hard time figuring out how do you sign it, like what title you should use. So we use something like officiating person or something like that. Anyhow, we give these ones, everyone we baptize, like we just baptized three students about 2 weeks ago in our Thursday night or Friday night, you know, campus meeting and that. So we give them a baptismal certificate if they get baptized. We say, you know, take this because some places use it as a legal document. So then there was follow up. So I talked to this one person that got saved, one student that got saved. I said, your name is Brian. I said, Brian, okay, I'll meet you. I need to give this baptismal certificate to you. So this coming Thursday, I have an appointment with him as an excuse, in a sense, to get more time with him. Brian, I've got this baptismal certificate I want to give to you. He says, okay, I'll swipe you in at the dining hall on Thursday on UConn campus. So I said, good, very good. He said, I get a chance with him. You know, to spend time with him. And then maybe that will lead into a regular appointment with him. Anyhow. Okay, incentives is a big thing, right? Incentives, right? Maybe ones are working with you or whatever, and maybe you feel they are ready for a training. Offer them a plane ticket to Anaheim as a kind of reward, an incentive. Or to a college conference or a training somewhere, right? Another thing we do is we give a ministry book like this. We tell them, oh, okay, you did such a good job, Paul, on writing that tract or writing that hymn. Hey, we want to give you a copy of this Crystallization Study of Exodus, Volume 3. You give them a gift of a ministry book or a booklet or something, right? Take them to a nice restaurant. I don't know, once in a while. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, the greatest Chicago restaurant, but, you know, for fellowship or something, okay? So anyhow, these are seven particular steps, right, in perfecting others, okay? Okay, in follow-up, right? That number six, right? Examples of follow-up, okay. There, right. You can do this. Ask him, how is he doing with his assignment? Two, text him, right? And check, how's it going, right? Three, you can call him. Right, on the cell. Get an update from him. How's it going, right? Four, meet up with him. Ask him, right, concerning the progress. Nothing better than live, you know, fellowship, face-to-face fellowship, because you can read a person a lot. You can never read them that well in a text or a call, but face-to-face you can read him. Is he listening? Are his eyes like, you know, or are you looking straight? He's looking straight at you. Periodically, right, send him material to refresh his vision, right? Allow mistakes, okay? And incentives, right? See, promise an upcoming event, a conference, an outing, right? Some ministry material as gifts. Promise of getting together, right? Going someplace with him for fellowship, okay? Then lastly, we'll run through this quickly. Okay, 10 principles of perfecting from Romans 12, right? So I know we can't get into it too much, but we'll run through these 10 principles of perfecting lifted from Romans chapter 12. Just from this chapter, we have some principles. One, calling for commitment. Paul says, present your bodies. That he didn't say, present your minds. Present your emotion to the church. We would say, very good. But my body's not there. My emotion is with me. My mind is with me. My will is with me. Present your body. Right? That's very practical. Number two, set the goal. Prove what the will of God is. God's goal, right? God's will. Three, affirm the functions. God has a portion to each. Every particular believer, each one has a measure of faith. It's just a measure. It's just a difference of degree. Doesn't mean one has no faith and you have a little or other have a lot. No, everyone has a measure of faith. And that faith has to be increased, perfected, developed, enlarged in each one. But you have to encourage one. Every single member, right, has a function, right? Four, identify the function. All the members do not have the same function. That doesn't mean one function is higher than another or better. No, right? So that's very important, right? Affirming the functions, God has apportioned to each a measure of faith, right? Every single one has a measure of faith. And all the members do not have the same function. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ on the same level. No rank, no hierarchy. The only difference is function. We're all brothers. I'm just a brother in Christ. You're just a brother in Christ. Look at the Apostle John at the end of the book of Revelation. I, John, your apostle, right? Did he say that? I, John, your most right reverend. No, he didn't say that. He said, I, John, your brother. We are all brothers, but we have different functions. And we must treasure the function in every member, every individual. I can do what you can never do. You can do, right, Floyd, what I could never do. Carolyn can do what none of the other sisters can do. Other sisters can do what Carolyn could never do. We have to realize this. Every member of the body is tremendously useful. It's like my body. Have you cut off your little finger recently because it can't do what the shoulder can do? You haven't? Why not? Look at my, there's no comparison. So let's get rid of this thing and let's all be shoulders. How would your body feel about that? Let's cut this member off and elevate this member. How would your body feel about that, Frank? I don't think he would like that very, very much, right? It's the same way. Every single member of your body is precious. It's indispensable. All the time we're looking at us, oh, I can't speak like Ron Kangas. That's right. That's right. I agree with you. But neither can you shepherd like Neither can Ron Kanga shepherd like you can shepherd. Do you see what I'm saying? I can never give a message like Ron. That's right. It's a good thing you realize it. Because if you don't realize that, you'll be in big trouble. You say, hallelujah, I cannot speak. I don't have the oratory that Ron Kanga has. But he doesn't know how to shepherd like I can shepherd. You see my point? So we all, right, have to know our function and identify the function. Number five, recognize the function, right? Having gifts that differ. Praise the Lord, my body, the members, they differ so that the whole body can function properly. So somebody doesn't see me and say, boy, you have beautiful fingers. Has anybody, oh, you have a beautiful toe. No, you look at the whole body. Oh, this is a marvelous person, right? Okay. Six, encourage communication. They're members one of another. Encourage the communication among the members. Okay, seven, supporting the functions. Take the lead in showing honor, love, right, building up, right, support the function. Don't say, ah, he was born eloquent. That's not fair. I was not born eloquent like that. I can't give a message for an hour. Man, why didn't the Lord give me that function? This is our problem. Support the function. Praise the Lord. He's eloquent. Lord, use that eloquence. Bless that eloquence for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. And then that brother would say, I can't shepherd like Carolyn. That's right. Lord, thank you for Carolyn. Lord, continue her shepherding. May she be the top one that knows how to shepherd, how to perfect others to shepherd. You see? Support the members. Honor the members. Okay, eight, the Spirit, right? Exercising the Spirit, burning in spirit. That's important, right? Serving the Lord. We must use our spirit in everything. Nine, allowing others to make mistakes. Oh, when we're good at something, it just grates us that they can't do it right. Right? Allow others to make mistakes. Didn't others allow us to make mistakes? You think when I was with those brothers at UCLA, David Dong, Gerald Thomas, you know, Simon, I didn't make mistakes? I mean, a lot of mistakes. Did the brothers kick me out of here? Bill Lawson is no longer worthy to be a UCLA student. No, they just bore with me, loved me, cared for me, right? Allow others to make mistakes. Number 10, don't overextend yourself. In other words, don't think more highly of yourself. I'm the shoulder. Hallelujah. I don't need the toe. No, don't do that. Right? And God has a portion to each a measure. Okay? Anyhow, so let me shift gears. Okay? Livingstone? I just had two or three more things I wanted to mention concerning the faculty. In the perfecting and how the faculty can work on a campus. I just have two or three brothers that I'm involved with that like are in the faculty set or a sister. My daughter, Janessa, she's a lecturer at Texas A&M in College Station, Texas, right? She was a lecturer at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Then a job opened up at Texas A&M, so she got that job. She's a lecturer and is teaching English as a second language, ESL, and she works with a lot of foreign students. She just told me, right, she said, I'm not tenured, so I have to be careful. So that matches what the brother shared about being tenured. You have a lot more liberty. She's not in a tenure track position, so she has to be quite wise in what she does and what she does not do. Okay, she said recently they had a forum faculty in Houston. Do you know when that was, just recently or? Okay, right. And some ideas came out in that thing about the faculty, in order to increase their usefulness, they can sponsor clubs. That's a big thing. So maybe you're at a university with some students, you don't have a Christian club yet, yet you're a faculty there, you can exercise and take the lead to be a faculty advisor to a club to enable them to get club status. So that's one possibility in that area. She said they can answer questions in class, but it has to pertain to the subject. They can't just launch out into a Bible verse or something. You can't do that. So they have to be very careful that way. And then she said a couple of the different faculty brothers, they according to their feeling before the Lord, they do a couple things. Like she mentioned the brother, you know, in Texas, Ken Diller. Ken has a liberty, my daughter said, he invites, I think fairly regularly, he invites students over to his home. I mean, not in the meeting. It's not like he lectures on, I don't know, materials or engineering. And then he says at the end of the class, okay, you're all invited to my house. Not like that. He has a way, I guess, with his students to invite them over in groups to his house. And then he does the inviting, and the wife fixes the dinner. And then right away when the students come over, he says, we will not talk about engineering. He sets the atmosphere, right? In the invitation, we're not going to talk about engineering now. We're going to talk about other things. And he'll like ask him, okay, what do you feel is the meaning of your human life? You know, he'll elicit, kind of response from them. Or like, what makes you happy? What makes you the happiest the most? Why are you happy? What makes you happy? And they'll give an answer. And then he says, usually he'll turn around, they'll ask him, what is the meaning of your human life? Or Professor Ken or Dr. Dillard, what makes you happy? There you go. Whoa. Anyhow, he does that. Okay. Okay, another teacher, she says there, I don't know if it's A&M or one of the colleges there, and this is done also by another PhD. In stores, we have one brother who is in a PhD program in exercise science. Okay, exercise science, you know, and physical thing and health and things like that. And this one other professor, my daughter's at, not the brother at UConn, he will use the first lecture of each semester to introduce himself, right? I don't know, you know, my name is so-and-so, you know, I was born here or there, whatever, and I grew up there, and a certain time I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This at one time. So everybody in the class knows his standing. And he doesn't get into trouble with the administration, because that's his introduction to, what do you call it, a bio? He gives a bio about himself, how he got saved. So the students know, that's it. That's all he's allowed to do. But probably in September he does that in the first class. I don't know, February, January, he does in his first class to let them know he does that, right? And if you want to talk to me about anything that I've said, he says, you can come to my office and we can talk. And that includes the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, right. You know what I mean, right? But, of course, this particular brother, because of maybe some crazy students or people out there, he does not invite them over to his home because of, you know, things you read in newspapers, something can happen. But it all depends on the particular brother. Some do it and some don't, just so you know, okay? And then Janessa, my daughter, said that as a faculty member, she many times she'll say, I've been invited to give a talk to the club, you know, Christian students at so-and-so, and she'll be invited as a faculty member to talk to all the students in the club about how to study, what study skills you can use. So in other words, that's another way for the faculty to do some perfecting work to our own students, you know, in a Bible, you know, in a campus Bible study. She'll give like a 10 or 15 minute or whatever word on study skills that you can use in class. There you go. So you have that. Okay. Another professor named Bruce Arnold. He's a classics professor at Mount Holyoke College in Holyoke, Massachusetts. South Hadley, Massachusetts. Very close to the Springfield, Massachusetts area, Smith College in Northampton, all that area of Massachusetts, okay? He's I don't know if he's associate or full or whatever. He's been teaching classics there, Greek and Latin. And he has to be very careful because it's a former girls' school, just recently gone co-ed. Very liberal. The founder of the school years ago is Mary Lyon, L-Y-O, and a very, very godly woman, and founded this school and this college for girls, mainly for Christian, you know, matters, a Christian view, of course, has completely changed now, because if you go to their chapel, they have Buddha in there. It's unbelievable. So anyhow, he has to be very wise, because the faculty is unbelievable, liberal. You can imagine New England, okay, like the apex of liberalism. So what he does, of course, he teaches Latin, Greek, there, but he also started another class called Knowing God. He has the liberty to do that. I want to teach a class Knowing God. Of course, he didn't say Knowing Jesus. Okay, you understand me. It's Knowing God, trying to interest some of the students to come to that class, and they actually, you get credit in that for it. Okay, and then what does he do in class? He compares Sophocles with Job to the students who come there, right? He has to be careful, of course. And then he will also, he'll compare Plato with Paul. Right? And then he'll listen to the response of the students in his class to find out who's really open by the lecture, what they say in class. And then based on that, he will consider before the Lord the next step. Should he invite some of these open ones, or a few open ones to his house, or whatever. So anyhow, he's able to do that. That's another way. Okay, the other faculty, not faculty one, he's a PhD student, Jesse Mala. He's from Laos. He's got quite a story about how his mom and parents, we escaped in Vietnam during the war, being shot at swimming across a river, and it was unbelievable. So he got to the United States, he got saved, and he graduated from UConn, and then now he's in the PhD program in UConn in exercise science. And he has to teach classes like health law, the law, legal matters concerning health, injuries, all kinds of health law. So he does the same thing at the beginning of, he just started the class, a couple weeks ago. So he gave a whole history of himself, how he got saved to the class. And he's got a lot of basketball players, football players, in the class, because these guys, they've got to take those classes. So one guy in this class his name is Marquise Vann, V-A-N-N. And he is a defensive linebacker for the UConn football team. And they were playing Missouri today. I don't know, if you watching the football game this afternoon, UConn versus Missouri, University of Missouri, he's there playing. He's coming to our meetings. he's, of course, not like me, he's about my, about 6'1", but he's 230. I won't ask you how far down I am. Anyhow, the weight is not fat, it's like muscle, anyhow. But, he in the class, Jesse's got to know some of these football players, other players. So he has morning revival with this guy. And this Marquise came to our meeting, our campus, off-campus meeting. Saturday? On Thursday night he was there, very open. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. And more he's feeling the vanity of football, and I don't know if I want to try for NFL. So this is another way that our TAs can work, with these students on campus, right, to perfect them and to be useful as faculty and TAs, okay? The only other thing that... Livingstone said that if any of you are looking for jobs, faculty positions, the University of Connecticut, UConn stores where we live, I have a house right across the street from the dorm. And another brother, Steve Sorrells, Steve Sorrells, he's got the next house. We're side-by-side houses. We're trying to take over that area around the campus. So UConn, they're building on the north part of the campus, they're building an expensive new research center engineering or something like that, to try to rival, you know, the Research Triangle Park in Raleigh, you know, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Not that big, but it will be big to bring in maybe, they think, 1,000 or 1,300 either scientists or professors or whatever. So if you're looking for a job, you know, stay tuned and read the newspapers when jobs, so you might end up at the University of Connecticut in stores. Amen. Anyhow, is it whose turn?
Especially concerning how to live a government living, concerning the promotion. So we will ask Brother Lin Taijia from Taiwan University. Also, Eileen Wong, she's there. And also, we have a sister who will graduate this year, and she has a heart to get a teaching job in the university. So we want to also want her to share a little bit. So, Brother Taijia.
Okay, so let's talk about the promotion. Actually, it's really related to the perfecting, especially in our church life. And when I got my assistant professor's job in Taiwan, actually it's about 1997. At that time, you know, the name of the church is Church of Minxiong, actually it's a country. Actually, Brother Livingstone served there before. And we have a very nice church life there. And all our brothers really want to perfect us. But when, you know, at that time, I just a first-year assistant professor. I have to get a tenure, and the main thing is get a single author paper and publish in an outstanding journal. That's the main thing to make your CV attractive. And so at that time, I make a decision, just spend all my time do research. And tell the Lord, especially answer, tell the Lord, like Romans 12:1. Well, I just tell the Lord, after I get the first paper, then I present my body. It's a kind of a commitment, Yeah, then I try my best to do research, spend all my time, and I really get some new idea and improve my improve a lot compared with my PhD thesis. Really get some breakthrough result, but unfortunately, and then I write it should be a nice paper, and then submit to an outstanding journal. Then after 1 year, I got a reject later. Yeah, you know. That's a way what the Lord answered me at that time. I just feel, oh, this is what the answer come from the Lord. Then I repent and come back to the Lord. Say, oh, okay, I have to present my body first. So a lot of kind of, you know, like a brother shared the message about being perfected, and we should pursue the Lord. And at that time, I really be serious in this kind of a world. Then I really try to present my body first as a living sacrifice, and really be perfect, and involve a lot of things, and actually, I still do spend a lot of time in my research. And the difference is I can feel my mind be purified, because every day as a afternoon message, right? The first one is a time with the Lord. I have to spend a time with the Lord, and I can feel, I get a purified mind, heart, and my mind actually is easy to concentrate and easy to focus, especially through the PSRP. It's easy to find out what's a crucial point, right? The crystal. You have to find out crystal. This is crystallization through the PSRP. We also do this kind of exercising, and also read Bible, and also pray. And read Bible, actually, not just only Bible itself, and also including all the books, as a brother recommend, right? But a lot of books come from Living Ministry. I also pursue with all our brothers in our locality. And also we take care of all students with a chaperone and nourishing. Outwardly, spend a lot of time. But inwardly, I really feel happy, especially with my dear wife, sister. We imagine together. We have a partner, and also we take care of students together, and really enjoy the church life there. And the time goes very fast, at 2000. I have to apply for promotion. But at that time, you know, we still, the church life is the same, and my research work still keep going on. And I also submit some paper to some outstanding journal. And at that time, especially at one night, as Brother Song say, I take care of students even to the 11 p.m., probably it's about 11 p.m., I still just finish our meeting with some students because he has some personal issue. We fellowship with him. And after that, we have to drive our car back to home. And at home, just pass by several buildings in our campus. Whoa! You simply say, a lot of my colleagues, they're still working on doing research. But what I'm doing now, right? But hourly, you may feel this one probably is hopeless to get promotion. But I just share a little bit about this kind of feeling to my sister, but she just really encouraged me. But in a different way, she say she believe God is righteous. Yeah. And you should be faithful. She tell me like that. Then I really, well, at that time I just feel, well, okay, at this time, of course, I have to be faithful to the Lord. And then I still keep going on with the same as my church life. Then after just a few weeks, I got a report of referee. And the later, well, it was quite long, about 10 pages. The referee asked about 10 serious questions about your paper, your work. 10, wow, each one is very, give me a really hard time, actually. Just, outwardly I may feel, probably I should withdraw. But in my inside, when I just pray, because this is a different kind of thing. Actually, this is not just I doing research. Because if you really present your body as a living sacrifice, then your research will become like doing research with the Lord, and the Lord be in you. Then I got a different feeling. Yeah, already I just want to withdraw because, you know, 10 severe and criticism, this is just really hard to answer. But inwardly, I feel something different. I should try. Then I really try it. But when I answer each question, I start to pray. Well, Lord, what about this? Well, this is my experience. I just share with you. Then, of course, this is not just get an answer. I still have to get some time to think more and deeper and deeper. As I say, because through this PSRP crystallization, church, this kind of exercising, and then easy for me to focus and get some crystal. And the same thing for that kind of criticism. I can easy to figure out what's the main point of that question. Then also I may think deeper and deeper, and then try to answer it. Then probably I spend a whole month to answer, to revise my paper, then send probably also a quite long answer to the paper. Then after probably about 2 weeks, I got another letter. Again, even probably it's about 15 questions. But it's not severe. That 15 question actually just ask me whether my thinking is this or not. And the referee start to help me to rewrite the paper. at this time, I just think, you know, my first version, in my opinion now, this is really awful, especially the introduction part, because this is probably just my first two paper. And I'm just so junior, you know. So, but because of Lord's mercy and His grace, especially with this perfecting church life, it's easy for me to focus on problem and think deeper, and to get a purified heart to do the real deeper research. Then the referee helped me to rewrite the paper. Then I answer it back. Then the third one just accept later, so you see. That's the first. That's very helpful to get a promotion. That's the first one, from assistant professor to associate. That's just so-called get a tenure. This is at 2000. But at 2003, another thing comes. And that 2003 actually is get a promotion from the associate to full professor. And that promotion actually for me is hopeless because, you know, in academic society, actually a lot of political issue. Yeah, some group leader may hate the other group of leader, which is your leader. So at that time, for me, it seems hopeless in that university to get promotion, become full professor, because it should be through voting, right? If it's through voting, for me, it's hopeless because the other group of people is more than us. So it's hopeless. But interesting thing is this. In the perfecting church life, as a brother shared, and at the 2000, when I just get a hard time for the first tenure position, promotion, and the brother lead us to read a book, which is about the vision and practice of God's ordained way. You know, how come this will be related to your tenure? not related to your tenure, but related to your full professor promotion. Because at that book, and we pursue that book every week as a one chapter and chapter by chapter. And in 1 week, there's a chapter talk about campus work. And it's written in the 80s. And Brother Lee actually is a main burden of that chapter is about the Student Center for National Taiwan University, not my previous university. It's about NTU, which is the best, number one university in Taiwan. And Brother Lee has a quite burden for this NTU campus. And they say that this kind of center, which may allow the 400 students to get together. When I first read that book, I just feel, now it's already 2000. Suppose 16 years ago. So it should be done, right? the student center should be done. So then I share with our brother, say, how come we should bring our student to that center and have a branding? Then eventually I find out it's not yet at 2000. Then I start to have a burden, and because I pray to the Lord, the servant pray is very important. Then I have a burden to pray to the Lord, say, Lord, your word of ministry cannot fail. I start to pray for this, because when I take serious in our church life, then I have a burden. Even NTU is nothing to do with me, especially at that time. I have no way to become an NTU professor, just in a small locality. There's no way. But I pray for that. And I also give some suggestion to the Lord, say, Lord, you should send some professor. Well, many faculty here, because in our locality, we have many faculty here. And you should send some which are senior and even alumni of NTU, and even some will have a full-time training experience. So you should send them to the NTU. Then the Lord answered me, say, what about you? At that time, I really feel shaking, you know, because as I share with you, I just applied for tenure position, and it's not yet. Yeah, I don't know whether I can stay in my previous, say, the NCCU, in my university, but how come I dare to say I want to go to NTU? But I still say to the Lord, may your will be done. May your will be accomplished. I just consecrate myself to you. But then, Lord, may your will be done. Then, an interesting thing happened after 3 years. Just from 2000, eventually I got a tenure, just simply pass. Then get a tenure position at the NCCU. But then after 3 years, this is quite interesting. It's through this prophetic church life, it's easy for me to purify, as I say. And then I can really get a lot of blessing from the Lord to become more productive and have a more interesting idea, actually, how to get idea, especially for this postdoctor. Actually, it's the main thing. How to get a new idea? You have to have a purified heart and, of course, sober mind and a lot of easy to focus and concentrate on the interesting idea may comes out. So in the last 3 years, I published many papers. Then eventually, at 2003, the NTU come to our university. We give you full professor. So that's what the testimony, and that's the other promotion I can get. So thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord for a perfecting church life.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know it's kind of late. I'll make it quick. Amen. It's the Lord's mercy that I can stand here. This is really His mercy and grace. And I really want to follow brothers sharing about perfecting and shepherding. I cannot be here and giving this testimony without all the shepherding and perfecting by the brothers. I remember when I was in FTDT, the very last month, Brother Song was one of the trainers at the time. And he met he had a one-on-one meetings with each of the trainee who is going to graduate. And I remember very clearly what he said to me, because he asked me, what are you going to do for the next 10 years? I say, I already line up. I'm going to get a PhD in the United States at the time I applied for graduate school. And then so I got accepted to come to San Antonio, Texas to get my PhD there. So I told him that right away I'm going to get a PhD and then I'll go to medical school and I will do this and that. So for the next 12 years, it's already lined up. And he just watched at me and he didn't say anything after that. And finally, he spoke one word. He just said, "Eileen, the only thing you need to do is to try to rest in the Lord and trust him. Trust him. Don't trust your own plan, but trust the Lord himself."
Amen.
And I was shocked. And that's the only word I remember. But looking back for the past 13 years, I praise the Lord for his shepherding. Because none of the path I've been through was according to my plan. It's totally off. I did get PhD, but I didn't go to medical school. I didn't do the things I planned to do. And now I end up as a faculty at the University of Kentucky. It's totally out of my plan. So I want to make this really short, this testimony short, and just give you two verses, and hopefully this really can follow up all the brothers sharing. We need to be trained, either through FTTS, FTTA, or FTTT. And secondly is that we need the Lord's leading. And we need to take him as our sources. Every step in our way, we need to value him as our source. And the only way we can know his desire is come to him. Seek his face. Seek his desire. Seek his speaking. And there's two verses really guide my path for the past 12 years. I like really want to share with you. It's Matthew. This is about six. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 32 to 33. "For all the things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all the things. But seek first," this is a verse I really want to share, "but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness,
Amen.
And all the things will be added to you."
Amen.
This saying, we're pursuing our degree, graduate students, we're pursuing our degree, and after postdoc, you're looking for a faculty job, and as a faculty, you're looking for promotion and tenure, but all the things the Gentiles are seeking, and but our Heavenly Father knows what we need.
Amen.
We only need to do is not just stress out or anxiously doing put our portfolio. No, that's not our destiny. That's not our job. Our job is seek his kingdom and righteousness. This is our only duty. And then for me, we're in medical research. So the only very important thing for us to get promoted or tenure is grant. It's the grant from National Institute of Health. Publication is important, but it's secondary. The most of thing is the grant. If you have a grant, you got guaranteed promoted. If you're not, you're nothing. You're in the trash. This is in medical school. You have to bring your own salary. That's the rule there. And that's really stress out. Because I think everybody knows that in 2008 till now, there is an economic recession. And NIH, the budget is cut down really, really low. So the successful rate to get a grant is less than 10%. So people said, that's harder than get a lottery. You probably get a lottery easier than get a grant. So a lot of people, if you look into news over the past 5 years, a lot of very talented young postdoc get out of academia because they couldn't get their own funding. And then when I come, when I hear my colleagues, they go out for looking a job, the first thing that the department chair or the research committee will ask, "Do you have funding?" That's the first question they ask. If you say, "Sorry, I don't, but I have all this publication," they say, "Sorry, we cannot hire you." That's the fact. So when I was in, after I done my postdoc, even as a research instructor or a research track, non-tenure track assistant professor, we all need our own funding. So that's why I spent 5 years just trying to get my own funding. But I couldn't get it because the success rate is so low. But the Lord just, I really appreciate the Lord's training on this aspect. It's bring me back again and again to him. The Lord just exposed me. What's your motivation on this? Are you looking, trying for a better future or for a better reputation or for job security for yourself, for your family? or you are here for my purpose. There's, the Lord always exposed me, asks me this question until I'm clear that, Lord, I am here for you.
Amen.
The Lord start to open the way. So right at, just I want to really keep this short, is that right after I consecrated myself again to him, saying, Lord, if you keep me in this job, you open the way for me. If not, thank you. I will just follow you wherever you lead me. I'm want to be absolute to you.
Amen.
I'm not absolute
Amen.
For my research or my career. I'm absolute to you.
Amen.
After this kind of prayer, the Lord just opened up a way. I'm an imager, so I'm a physicist. So it's hard to get a funding with a physics background. You need to do something related to disease or very important for the health field. Then you can get funding from NIH. Then I say, Lord, with this MRI imaging techniques, how I can get a funding to a disease-related study, research. Then one day, a director of Aging Research Institute in San Antonio, Texas, called me. He said, I read your paper, and I'm very interested in it, because I have been looking for imaging technology to study aging and Alzheimer's disease. So he called me, and he is a very well-known people, a person in National Institute of, he sit on the study session or the council committee in National Institute on Aging. So he has networks, and he knows how the grant should be put up together. So he said that I'm willing to supervise you and give all, he is willing to perfect me, in other words, and shape me. And he started to sit down with me and lay out the plan with me and help me to write a grant. So with his shepherding and perfecting, within a year, I got a major funding from NIH. And then they start to put me on a non-tenure track of assistant professor in San Antonio. But at that time, so with that funding, I can go to Yale University in 2012 for training. So I met Brother Han there and his family. And I was so touched by his example. He is a professor and he is a chairperson in that department, but he still spent time with students one-on-one and shepherd them. And even my husband during that time got his shepherd. So after we came back from Yale University, we just have a heart, say, Lord, we need to move on. I need to get a tenure track position because I need to teach, I need to do research, I need to go to a typical four-year university because I was in medical center, so it's not a typical university. So I said, Lord, I consecrate myself and my family to you again. I'm willing to follow the pattern to not only be a professor, but also be a shepherd to the young people and to the students and to give your words to them. So we start to pray, and very interestingly, I didn't apply for any job. I just said, Lord, I have this funding. Okay, and then I have a heart for you. That's it. I only have this too. And you, if you want to lead me anywhere, just open the door. I don't want to apply a job. So it's so interestingly, in 2013, I went to a meeting, and I was giving a presentation there. And the director of the Aging Institute in University of Kentucky came over, and she said, do you have your own funding? So that's always the first question you got. Do you have your own funding? I said, yes, I just got one. He said, wow, we are interested in you. Because she came from Northwestern University. She was a chair of that department for aging research. And she just recruited by University of Kentucky and as the director of the Aging Institute and Alzheimer's Disease Center there. And she can recruit 5 new faculty with this move to Kentucky. And she has only one spot left. And she said she doesn't want to do the overall big search because it's too tedious. And so that she is very targeting. So she just go to meetings and look for people that she's looking into. And first of the criteria is funding. Okay. So and she is looking for a neuroimager because they have a big Alzheimer's disease center, but they have no people can imaging the patient's brain. So they need an expert on imaging. So she saw my poster, I'm doing imaging, and then I have funding. He said, okay, how about you come here for interview? And then I just came over here one time, and the second time, and the second time, they just give me the offer later, immediately. I said, Lord, if this, the, because my husband and I pray a lot for the Lord's move, for the family concerning his interest and purpose. So we know this is not from nowhere. This is from heaven. This is from the throne. So I just say, thank you, Lord. Amen. I will take this position and come here. Final thing is that I'm now on the tenure track, and within 3 years, 4 years, I'm going to need to be revalued again, and whether I can get tenure, that's another thing. Big thing, funding. So now they are pushing me again. Eileen, you need to get your own big, either bigger grant. Yeah. But the Lord really worked out everything. In my heart, just say, Lord, you take care of this detail. My only thing need to do is love you, care for your interest, and preach gospel to students and sharpen students on campus. That's my only thing I need to care. Other things, you take care. You know my need, and you take care of it. And just right after this prayer, NIH has another announcement, because Obama, President Obama is really focused on Alzheimer's disease. So he said, other institutes can have low funding pay line. It's okay, but Alzheimer's disease need to be increased to 30%. Increase of the funding. So, and I'm an early. I'm still within 10 years of after PhD term year. So that's called early stage investigator, and they have 5% bonus. So overall, if I apply the grant now, and then if it's not too bad, I probably can have 25 to 30%. Success rate compared to other researchers. So the Lord just really opened up. When we come to the point where we need something, the Lord just really opened up the way for us. So I just feel no need to be stressed out, although I'm sometimes still stressful with all this duty with the family's need. I'm still stressful, but this just reminds me, Lord, I need to turn to you. You are my heavenly Father. You know what I need. Amen. And I just need to seek your kingdom and righteousness. All this our Gentiles are anxiously seeking. But you will add this to me. I just need to be faithful to you. So I really want to encourage whether students or postdoc, or you are in a position, in a situation of applying a position, just give yourself to the Lord. Amen. And let him gain you first. Let him gain you first, and then seek his kingdom and righteousness.
Amen. I want to read, introduce myself. I'm Antoinette Cummings, also called Tony, third year PhD in engineering education at Purdue University. I assume there's a lot of engineers in the room. Let me explain engineering education. It is research on how people learn engineering. I am not housed in the College of Education. I am housed in engineering. I am an engineer. It's new. 10 years. So the point is to be housed in engineering institutions, possibly teaching undergraduate courses. The laboratory is the classroom, discovering how people learn and how to assess that. So my job opportunities actually should be really good if I explain it well. So I'd like to read a few verses and share with you really personal feelings about being searching for a professor job. So the first verse is John chapter 6, 67 through 68. Jesus therefore said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life." It's one of the governing verses in my experience. Another set of verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 13. Chapter 3, 10 through 13. For another foundation, no one is able to lay beside that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, stubble, the work of each will become manifest, right? So the matter of the proper building. In the last set of verses that I was really touched by, 1 Kings 7, about Hiram the pillar builder. King Solomon sent for Hiram and brought him from Tyre. He was the son of a widow and of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. And he was full of wisdom and understanding and skill to do all kinds of work in bronze. He came to King Solomon and did all his work. So the matter of building, the matter of building. So why would I want to be a professor on a campus? Number one, I want to be useful to the Lord. Okay, I want to build the Lord's church. Okay, I don't think it's too bold to say I want to still be alive when the Lord returns because of the generation raised up and matured that the Lord would come back to. I want to have an open home and an open kitchen. At the moment, I'm not much of a cook, so I'm subcontracting to Stouffer's, but that's okay. And one of the last points about being a professor on a campus, and by this time you should be very clear, some campuses have really strict rules about student groups, and they may need direct faculty support in order to operate. So those are some of the reasons why I want to be faculty on campus. Now, how to accomplish those goals of becoming faculty? And many of the saints have said this today, so this can go really quick. First one, put God's will first, right? Through my prayer, through my consecration, put God's will first. Another point, this is really sweet, and I don't know if this is everybody's experience, but it's mine. I'm going to flip to Genesis chapter 39 regarding Joseph. So chapter 39, verse 3 and verse 23. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. And the Lord confirms this, says it twice. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 23, the chief jailer did not supervise anything that was in his charge because Jehovah was with him. And whatever he did, Jehovah caused it to prosper. Okay? Joseph still had worked in a prison situation. So if the faculty thing seems like prison, it's because it is. But Jehovah was with him. So to have simple faith that God is with you, right? Be faithful to that vision. It's another way to accomplish these goals of becoming a faculty. Another way, many saints have shared this, about finding and making time for your constitution in the Word, right? Either on your commute to work, getting messages, making appointments to read, putting those on your schedule. I happen to have hosted a sister singing time. Actually, it's turned into music lesson time. It's getting to be really fun. And also to participate in the campus Bible study, another way to make time to be constituted in the Word. And lastly, and this is why I'm here, and I'm so glad y'all are here, and I'm still in the middle of this, seeking fellowship in the body, where to go, how to apply, what to say. This is another matter that I would just prefer to do in the body rather than on my own. So if you're also a PhD student and wondering and just thinking that a teaching job or a professor job or research job is just what happens next, it actually can be extremely useful to the Lord. Extremely useful. Amen. Amen.
Okay. We want to conclude today's meeting by asking Brother John Hyde to give us a final prayer.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for speaking to us,
amen.
For encouraging us.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the rich time of blending,
amen.
Lord, for opening up your heart's desire.
Amen.
Lord, you are building your church.
Amen.
Lord, you are building your body.
Amen.
Lord, we just want to, Lord, take heed to the speaking.
Amen.
Lord, by perfecting one another.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, Lord, to bring others into function.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this group of saints.
Amen.
And we have the opportunity to serve on campus.
Amen.
Lord, the faculty and the staff.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, do a deep work of perfecting.
Amen.
Lord, we don't, Lord, consider ourselves higher than any others.
Amen.
Lord, we stay open and humble.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, daily enjoying you,
Amen.
Being infused by you,
Amen.
Becoming the crazy lovers of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to honor each consecration.
Amen.
Make all the saints useful.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, building functioning members of building your body.
Amen.
Lord, bless each one.
Amen.
Bless every campus in this area.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Three announcement. Tomorrow, the meeting will be starting from 10 to 12:30. We want to give you the history concerning the campus work in North America. So this is a very wonderful topic.